the Young and the Restless Recap. I am Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is podcast 18. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like the gods don't want us to podcast today.
It was technically very difficult to get it going.
And your traffic getting here.
And my traffic getting here. And
cats are, like, not leaving us alone.
Yeah, they're being pains in the butt. But we don't have a regular cat wrangler at home tonight either, so that might be having something to do with it.
I guess so. So many things happened in the last 2 weeks.
It's mind-boggling, really. Yeah. After we were complaining... Mind-boggling. My mind is boggled. Because weren't we complaining just last time about how it had been a really slow week and boring and not that much had happened? Exciting. Yeah, and all of a sudden, everything in the world happened.
So 2010 is so far a good fabulous year.
Yeah, I'm digging it. If they can keep this level of...
Absolutely.
You know, and I admit, I was surprised a couple of times.
I was like, totally surprised.
Okay. And then a couple of other things, it was like, yeah, saw it coming. Okay.
Yeah, because remember what we said? You needed like a crystal ball podcast or whatever? Because you always know what's going on.
Yeah, all predictions all the time. But you have all the back knowledge. You know, I just guess.
Thanks for that consolation prize there.
You get a red ribbon. You put in not the blue ribbon, you get the red ribbon.
All right.
All right, so...
So last time, Adam and Sharon had this plane crash. It was, like, on their wedding day.
Yeah.
Always a good omen.
Really a good way to start. Yeah. And their plane crash was big and fiery and over in one episode, which I kind of appreciated.
I did, too, you know, actually. But, yeah.
You know, although I have found it interesting that for the past 2 weeks, the makeup department has done a fantastic job with Sharon's...
Like, her head.
Plane crash injuries, have been very consistent. That they, like, you know, mapped it out, and every day they do a little bit less of the redness and the scabbies, but...
I have to say, she hasn't looked very good, though. Like, a combination of the middle part,
and the curls? The head scabs, the curls?
And totally, like, the Aquanet curls.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah, not good.
Uh-uh. Oh, and then she had this outfit that was, like, so hideous. It was, like, this skirt... It was a black skirt that was, like, real high, waist high, which I usually like. But it, like, went down to, like, I don't know, low calves. And it's just, like, I don't know, hideously, like, poofy red blouse thing. She just looked heinous.
It was not good at all. Although I will say that I really liked it was, like, a kind of a purple turtleneck she had on the last couple
days.
Okay,
that was
really cute.
Yeah.
I like that. It was flattering and it was a nice color.
But for the most part, I was just like, man, Sharon doesn't look good.
No, well, and...
Come on.
She can't be 100% all the time. She's not Lauren.
I'm not asking for 100%. I'm asking for 35.
A little bit of effort. Well, she's in newlywed land. She doesn't care what she looks like. She's scored a Newman. You know, as you so often have commented, it's like, that's what you want to do if you live in Genoa City. You want to marry a Newman boy, and, you know, there's no
or
prenup.
Two.
Yeah. Well, because, think about it. She got... Theoretically, half of everything Nick had before.
Yeah.
And now she can take Adam for half of everything he's got.
Oh, she's set.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Even if she wanted a job, which
I guess
clearly
it kind of
she
felt
doesn't.
Like when she got married to Adam, that maybe she brought more to the table, though, in terms of financial gain.
Yeah, he has more prospects, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's just going to be siphoning off all of her.
Sure.
You know, living on the interest money forever.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, he has the potential to really rake it in if Victor dies at the right time when he's mad at all the other kids. You know, Adam can score. You know, it's just a matter of timing. So
anyway, she had no memory.
She has no memory of the crash.
Well, I mean, not like she doesn't have a great memory.
Yeah, it was like bits and pieces, but I don't get the impression, I don't know, maybe they'll have her remember at some point.
Yeah, because he held up that piece of paper as they were, like, plummeting to their death that said, your baby is alive. And
so I think, you know, they wouldn't have filmed that if it's not going to come back later, but I think it's going to be
I got the impression it was there because it was Adam basically, like...
Being contrite.
Him being like, oh crap, I'm gonna die, and I need to, like, come clean.
I'm burning myself
at
this.
The very, very possible last second before I burn in a fiery plane crash. I didn't think it was so much to, like, open up the storyline for her to be, okay. like, you know, I just thought it was, like, a
it
way
It could
for
go
him.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Because then when it, you know, like, when it floated back down and it was, like, half on fire on the ground.
That was awesome. I loved that.
It was, like, only for him to see.
Yeah.
And so I kind of thought it was this personal thing
that was
just him.
That it was him confessing and now it's over and done with. And
yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So, speaking of things burning.
Again, another omen that they shouldn't be married.
Well, you know, I forget where it was that they were. They were out of the house doing something totally normal and not a big deal. And Noah was at home having some snuggy time with his girlfriend.
Remember, Ashley came over and she had a wedding present for them because everybody else has pretty much been like...
scorned them.
You disgusting, you horrible people.
Yeah, how dare you get married. And, that's true. I think Ashley's been really sweet during
Absolutely.
This whole thing. But I also think there's been kind of this little thread of how dare Adam marry someone else? Kind of
really?
A jealousy thing. Yeah, there's this little hint of it.
Because we totally thought they were going to hook up, Ashley and Adam.
Right. And for a long time. And then...
and then all of a sudden it just, like,
it
went
switched.
Away.
Switched, yeah. And I don't know what that's about, but suddenly it's kind of like... When she interacts with them, she's kind of playing
she's
house
almost,
in
like,
her mind.
She's almost,
like,
too
of, oh,
happy.
I wish, yeah.
Know? Okay, I could see that.
You know.
But she gave them, like, because they thought all of their, like, wedding pictures had burned in the plane crash. Ashley had gone to, like, some great extent to, like, get a picture from the Justice of the Peace of the wedding and get it framed and give it to them. They were thrilled.
Yeah.
And she's like, can I take you out to dinner? And they were like, yes, because they had this moment where they kind of, like, Adam and Sharon both come home from whatever they were doing all day and they're both hungry. And it occurred to both of them that they had no clue what each other liked to eat.
Right, yeah, because they don't know each
other.
No! Because they've only been, what, barely dating.
They shared, like, pasta primavera on, like, Thanksgiving, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
they know they like the sex.
Well, sure. And, you know, and yet...
yeah.
They do need to surface long enough to go into town with Ashley and have a real meal.
So they left. That's why they left.
That's why they left. Okay. I had forgotten that. So while they're gone, Noah and Eden decide to light every candle in the house. And because it's Sharon, you know that she's a subscriber to Party Lights. has 14 vanilla-scented candles.
Oh, everywhere. But they made it a point to show Eden, like,
blowing each one out
the candles.
And even realizing, oh, wait, I forgot one.
Fire
I have
safety.
To go. Yeah, because, you know, and that was a very Eden moment. It was like, that is exactly what she would do. And the fact that she didn't also, you know, tamp it down with water-moistened fingers.
Or with, like a, what do they call those?
A candle snuffer.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But they were upstairs, you know.
Doing what teenagers
doing
do upstairs.
Sinners.
Well, clearly, because someone, oh, I wonder who it could be, snuck in.
I guess.
Why did they initially have it not clear who it was, who snuck in, and then set the house on fire?
I think because they were trying to, well, like, Eden and Daisy had, like, had... like,
words.
Maybe a little bit, yeah, some words, exactly. At Crimson Lights or something, where Eden was like, dude, I don't buy your dead parents' crap.
Yeah.
And Daisy was like, stop bothering me. I've been really upset since my parents died. And Eden was like, dude, really? I liked Eden, actually, in that moment.
Yeah, no, I liked Eden
in
that moment.
Thank you.
And I think as Daisy has gotten more evil... her acting has gone way down.
I kind of agree.
It was kind of like so wooden and awful.
Uh-huh.
I was like, whoa, what?
I don't
what
know.
Happened here?
Or maybe just because we know more or something. I don't know.
No, I think it's her. I feel
she
so
brought
amazing.
Out the big guns for the first month.
Yeah, she's good at playing innocent and sweet and nice and virtuous, but she doesn't understand how to do.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I
just
think I
a
do.
Little,
yeah.
a little nuts.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, because then.
Wicked.
Immediately. She was, like, pissed off at Eden for kind of calling her out.
Talking to her.
So, while Eden and Noah are, like, up doing the deed, she just goes over and, like, lights a candle and then puts it directly underneath the curtains.
Right.
takes off. But we don't see Eden's face. Yeah, we Daisy's don't know face. At the
time that it's... But it was clearly her.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense. But she had also kind of been talking to Ryder, or they'd both been talking to each other about how mother's in Genoa City, and who knows what she's up to. And so it kind of, for maybe a few days, made us go, okay, there's a possibility it's the mother. But come on, we know.
It was clearly Daisy.
Because then Daisy kind of broke it to Ryder in the bookstore or something, right? And he was, like, kind of disgusted with her.
Yeah. No, he was... Because it's not part of the plan. It's like, what are you doing? Leave them alone. That's not what we're here to do. You're getting off track. And he was actually kind of, you know, righteously indignant at her, saying, what are you doing? This is not the plan. You're...
And she was kind of, like, having fun with it.
Yeah. Oh, she was loving that she did it. She was like, I almost burned down the house. It was,
she's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a lot more creepy in that moment than she had been.
And then Eden kind of figured it out, too, because then, well, okay, so the house is on fire.
Yes.
And Ashley and Sharon and Adam return from dinner.
To the house being on fire.
To the house on fire.
And God forbid any of them actually call
911. Well, no. Immediately, Ashley got on the phone.
But it seemed like it took a while.
You know. Hey, I've called 911 on my cell phone for some things, and it takes a while. I am displeased.
Not that it took them so long to get there, but that it took them so long... To pull out the phone.
Sure. Yeah. So, who goes into the house? The fiery, smoky house, but the blind dude.
The blind guy. Yeah, I loved that. And the two women could not have been more useless. Oh my God.
I kind of liked that, though.
No, that was ridiculous.
I love Sharon, being held back, you know, and Ashley going, you can't do anything.
It's like, yes, you can. You're a grown woman. What is wrong with you? Your son is being burned to death and you stand there
whimpering? No, the blind guy is saving him. Come on.
Oh, that was ridiculous. That was just like, I felt like they had pushed back feminism about 100 years in just that one little moment. It was like,
But at the same time, like, people with disabilities took a step forward.
That's true. Good for them. That's awesome. But so Adam managed to get both of them out.
Yeah, he carried Eden out. Right. Yeah, that was so good.
It was, I mean, good for him. I thought that was a selfless moment. I don't think he had any ulterior motives or, you know, was being Adam-y about it. He was just being a human being. The thing that I absolutely loved, though, was when he went back in, and I was in there going, what the hell is he going back for?
Oh, I knew exactly.
And I thought at first he was going back for the picture.
The picture, yeah.
The picture of Cassie and the family and all that. But no, he comes out with the dog.
I know.
I was like, yay. Okay.
He officially went to the top of my list.
Yeah.
I was like, Adam went in and saved Fisher.
Yeah.
I'm
beautiful,
all about it.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yellow lab. And
with not a bit of smoke on him.
Well, no, or coughing.
yeah.
But yeah, that redeemed a lot of what Adam has done in the past for me. It's like, you went back for the dog. You win. Okay. Love you.
Yeah, because it was like, it was so stupid and funny, and I don't know, like Adam going in, saving the children, going back in, saving
the dog,
and he's blind.
And whereas Ashley and
I loved it.
Ashley, what the hell was she doing with Eden? It wasn't CPR.
Oh, I don't
she was
know.
Like pushing on her diaphragm to get her to breathe.
And I don't know.
What the hell?
Well, clearly, you know,
no one does CPR in.
No.
Genoa City?
No.
Ever?
No.
That's where I'm going to make my millions, is teaching CPR classes when I go crazy.
Sweet. You do that.
Yeah.
I'll visit you.
That'll be my fantasy job.
Yeah. So they go to the hospital then.
No smoke inhalation.
Yeah.
And get treated in the hallway, which I thought was super hilarious.
I know.
It's like, what, you don't have one room that you can put the three of them in?
I know.
And Adam was too cool to take treatment.
Yeah.
You know.
But then they got, they took Eden home, and Lauren, super
ripped
grilled
into
Eden.
Her. Yeah, she was, hardcore. That was not okay.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I understand the whole, I'm worried about my, you know, in this case, child. Not actual child, really. But, you know, surrogate child kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, yes, you yell at them as you're hugging them because you're glad they're safe. But she didn't do the hugging. She just yelled at her.
Yeah.
How can
it was
you
like,
be
you were upstairs having sex and you left a candle.
It wasn't safe.
Totally.
And it just,
absolutely.
Ripped her a new one. And Eden's like, No. Once again, poor Eden is stuck.
I know.
As the scapegoat saying, no, I did blow out all the candles. I don't know how they, you know, maybe one blew over, but I don't see how that could have happened.
But then she, you know, she kind of had this revelation in her own mind where she was like, I know I blew out those candles. And we knew because we saw that flashback.
Right, yeah.
And she went and kind of confronted Daisy and was like, oh, and what if Eden, Noah found something of Daisy's.
Oh, it was a card, a business card.
Oh, that's
right. Or something that had numbers on it.
It was like like maybe something study card or something.
Yeah.
Something where they knew that it was
link
pretty
her,
darn close
link
to Daisy.
Link Daisy to being in the house.
Yeah. Eden went and confronted her, and I just thought, oh, Eden, you know, you confronted her the first time and the house got burned down.
Yeah, now what?
Let's not confront her again.
Not directly.
Let's figure it out on the side.
Yeah, if anyone should have a Scooby gang, it should be Eden.
Oh, yeah. You
know,
totally.
Eden would be able to figure it out. She could, you know, do the Nancy Drew and get it right and have it not be Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so now we know that Daisy
Eden's got a big X on her at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Daisy's going to take her down.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, and the reason... I think one of the reasons why Lauren was so hard on her is that she's totally...
Paranoid.
Paranoid and hyper and looking over her shoulder because she is now coming... being suspicious that Sheila's back. She wasn't really dead. Mm-hmm. And she and...
Because it had happened before.
Mm-hmm. That she had come back with Phyllis's face, and Phyllis is like, okay, what you're saying is that I'm actually Sheila, and that the real Phyllis died, and I'm sitting there at home going, that's why Daisy has that long, straight red hair. Because she's fake Phyllis / Sheila's daughter.
There you go.
And that, you know, that'll make them look alike.
Yeah.
And, when they reveal that you know, Phyllis hasn't been Phyllis all these years. I think that would be great.
No, because we know there's some other...
mysterious woman. We don't know that it's not Phyllis, though.
No.
It could be.
I don't think so. I really don't.
I think it's in the realm of possibility. I don't think it's probable. I think it's possible.
They wouldn't take the character of Phyllis out. They just wouldn't.
I don't know. We've been kind of complaining about how the character of Phyllis has really been lacking the last couple of months. So this would definitely
bump her up. But we've seen so many, like... characters of, like, or, like, scenes of Phyllis by herself where she's, like, she's doing things on her own, like, and she's upset about the whole Nick Sharon thing. You know, if you think if you're Sheila, you'd be, like,
not
it wouldn't hit you so
stuff.
Personal. But I wouldn't say that it's out of possibility that Sheila is
back
in Genoa City. I hate to say that, because it's so lame.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree.
Come up
but
with
I think
a new arch-villain or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of, like, Daisy being maybe, like, some sort of strange, you know, Sheila daughter. Mm-hmm. Sheila's dead, but now here's Daisy to take over that legacy of messing with Phil.
Right, of having her do it. And
Lauren,
leaving Sharon out of it because she's, you know.
Whatever. I don't know. But,
but to bring Sheila herself back into it is...
At the same time, to kind of talk about Daisy and Mom, whatever, they found out, like, from the lab that the third shooter, we always kind of wondered, who's
the third shooter
in the whole Daniel shoot somebody in the alley fiasco, is a woman.
Right, which is ridiculous, because I remember us saying back that week of saying, okay, we know it's a man, it clearly was a man. It was a man, it was a man, it was a man.
It
and
was,
now suddenly
right?
they're saying, no, it's a female. It's like, okay. Admittedly, some women can look like men.
Yeah. But
the
I
original
swear,
Jimmy
I remember
comes
looking
to mind.
And thinking,
but,
yeah.
You know, I think that the idea that suddenly they're switching it.
Because I remember us having that conversation like it was a guy.
Yeah.
There were,
because we had a couple of suspects that we ruled out, but. Yeah, now that they're saying that it's a woman, I was just like, no, that's lame.
Yeah.
Super lame.
So, do you think that third person is Daisy or the mom?
The mom.
The mom. I agree.
Yeah. Although, I wouldn't put it past Daisy.
No.
To kill someone. Well, to kill someone out of spite or hatred or revenge or something like that. I don't think Daisy would have any motivation to kill...
Yeah.
you know, whoever the guy was.
Sure.
So, you know, I just think she's more of a crazy killer than a, you know, methodical killer.
Sure. And so. I think they're setting it up so that Daisy may end up being murdered or killed or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And Ryder's gonna stay.
Oh.
You know, like, okay. He'll... Because yeah. He's feeling bad about it.
He is. He's feeling bad.
And he feels really bad about kind of pulling the wool over the whole Baldwin clan. Family.
Yeah.
And so, I think that they're kind of setting it up so that something's gonna happen to Daisy. Mm-hmm. Ryder will end up getting his whole redemption story.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, Kevin, to his credit...
Yeah.
Finally had enough, and he broke up with his boyfriend... slash brother.
I felt like he was gonna, I don't know, hand him back, like, the other half of his best friend's necklace. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. It was really, really sad. In the, oh my god, this is so pathetic.
It is pathetic.
Kind of way. Now I'm done with him. And mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, like everyone else was weeks ago.
Weeks, months.
Months. Loser. So, anyway. So then Ryder goes to Daisy and says, okay, I have no place to live.
Yeah.
You know.
Good point.
And Daisy's just kind of like, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, she was like, too bad, so sad.
Too bad. You can't come to my dorm because I can't have boys in the dorm, which that's not even close to being true.
Well, maybe she's in does she go to GCU?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I wouldn't. Say that that's
you could
true.
Sneak a boy into the dorm there oh, without yeah. any trouble at all. So she's just being mean.
I mean, you could bang professors there in their offices.
Clearly,
so
yeah, you know, you whatever. Could certainly find some place to.
Yeah. So he went back. Finally, he talked her into it, and she was like, "You better not leave anything there."
Mm-hmm. So of course
somebody's
going to he's
going to
leave his underwear somewhere. Oh, of course. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Easily. So.
Yeah. Should we talk about Amber and Deacon?
Yeah, let's do Amber and Deacon.
Because so. Then. At the same time, Deacon is going to be transferred to a state
the
prison.
Big state prison. Yeah. Yeah. Not just the the jail.
And Amber wants to know where little D is. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this is just a fire in her pants. She needs to know
yeah,
where
she
little
needs
D
immediately.
Is.
Yeah, and it was just like, boy, this has sure taken you a while.
It has, but it almost like I rationalized it in my brain. Like, all those things mm-hmm. she did before... Whatever that fake Project Runway thing was that she did, mm-hmm. and everything, now I feel like...
It's all been so
it
she
was
could
filling
have enough
that
money.
Hole.
Oh, I see, okay.
Because she really, you know, had some son.
Okay.
Not biological, but whatever. She yeah. raised him. So they're like at... She, Amber and Daniel go to the jail mm-hmm. right before Deacon's going to be transferred. She wants to know where little D is. Mm-hmm. And she's pleading with Deacon to tell her.
Yeah.
And Daniel was a dick.
Daniel was a complete dick. Oh my god. It was like, how unsympathetic and unsupportive of a husband can you possibly be?
She has been by his side.
For everything. All of uh-huh. his bullshit and all of his everything.
Oh
and
yeah.
Without a single complaint or, you know, uh-uh. recrimination. And she wants to do a nice... humanitarian
yes.
thing that's good for the world, and he's like, no, you
he's like, I don't need
this
right now.
Yeah, I've got too much on my mind to worry about, you know, your kid who's not even your kid. And I was like, oh my god, you are such a douchebag, I can't even believe it.
I was so mad at him.
Yeah, that was not okay.
No. And then, you know, but the thing is like, when, like, Amber was pleading with Deacon, it was like, I know, like, technically, Deacon filmed his last day or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that was the day or something.
Yeah.
But I just felt like, God, if they just brought him back, I could totally see them getting together
oh, yeah.
over the kid.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Because Daniel was so, like, unsupportive.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and then
I can't
Phyllis
even imagine.
Somehow showed up.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell Phyllis was doing there.
Phyllis showed up and was, like, on Daniel's side, you know, like,
yeah.
You don't need this, blah, 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 yeah. blah. And Amber was like, hey, by the way, right here, my husband that I'm married to
uh-huh.
got taken away from you, and you
yeah,
were a bad mom.
Were, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
That go, was Amber.
A, yeah, well, that was a pretty good slap back. Phyllis didn't seem to care at all.
No.
But
I don't like Phyllis as a mother-in-law. She's a bad mother-in-law.
She's a bad mother-in-law.
I mean, I guess she's technically stereotypical, but still.
No.
Busy body, just...
And everybody's business. I wanted
to be like, go back to Nick. You have your own problems.
Right, yeah, you got enough issues, you know, without messing with Daniel. And
her and Amber, like, really got into it. And I really liked that Amber stood up for herself.
Yeah, that was good. And she clearly, I hope, sticks with it and doesn't take any more of Phyllis's crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... So. Yeah, you want to kind of have a good relationship with your mother-in-law, but really, it's okay.
Thank you. Yeah. But so, they're on the hunt, basically, or at least Amber is, because Deacon said...
As they're dragging him off to get into the van.
And I went, no, don't take him.
Yeah.
No.
With his last breath.
I know.
He's with your mom. And I was thinking, okay, what do we know about Amber's mom?
At this point, we don't know anything except she's bad.
Well, I don't think she's bad.
No, Amber talked about it in the past. Amber described her
as being, as she was talking to Jenna about it, and saying that her mom would do anything for a buck and was really slutty, which I thought was a great turn of phrase for someone to be talking about their own mother. How horrifying would that be? Okay. Totally. Yeah, that would suck if you're growing up and your mom's a big slut. But,
yeah.
So I can't wait for her to show up.
Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be a good show.
Yeah. So, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, should we talk about Malcolm? I'm kind of over Malcolm. I'm ready for him to go away.
Well, I'm not over Malcolm at all. I like him.
No, he's just boring.
Really?
I don't care. It's like, yes, all right, oh, you're back. You're gonna fight with Neil.
Yeah.
You're gonna suck up to Lily.
I guess I like his something coming in. We were just talking about how Malcolm, or not, Neil, needed somebody, some new antagonist.
Yeah.
And so...
I was hoping it would be Tucker.
Yeah.
Tucker McCall.
Well, that's a possibility now, too. Yeah. But, I feel like Neil needs something to kind of butt heads to against. Yeah.
Besides just sit there. Yeah. Although he's been making Google eyes with Ashley, and that's just not okay.
It's something's going on there.
Gross. Mm-hmm. They're going to do it. Yuck.
I hope not.
I really hope not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only person who I wouldn't really mind Neil hooking up with is Jill. Because I hate both of them so much, it would be this whole tidal wave of repulsion. I'm on
Team Jill right now. I like her.
No, you
especially
don't.
Especially now.
No, you don't. Anyway. So yeah, Malcolm hasn't done much this week except fight.
I think that the new actor, is doing a great job of portraying the old Malcolm's personality, though. Which I don't remember.
I've never seen Malcolm before, but, so.
It was like, Neil was always the stuck-up, uptight one, and Malcolm was always... Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah, totally. Malcolm was like the... Yeah, like the Lily cool was talking brother. About. Yeah, like the cool uncle who gave her beer when she was 17.
And yeah, it was like, oh, great.
Okay.
Role model. Nice. Yes.
Anyway, so I think he's doing a good job playing that character. The one that everybody always liked a little bit more.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know, I find him kind of boring.
Well, I think you'll like him more later. I'm giving him that positive.
I'll give him a try. Positive vibe. All right.
Go for it, Malcolm.
Okay.
And?
If he hooked up with Heather, that'd be okay.
No.
And?
I'm saying no to that. Right now.
You're vetoing that?
I'm not gonna allow that.
No, really? Wow.
I don't have a reason. I just don't like it.
Okay, well, I will say that she hasn't been on the show very much lately, but Heather's new hair color could not be more wrong for me.
I can't... What is it's her
like,
new hair
it's
color?
It's like amber. Well, not amber. It's like a
what, deep... Was it like mine?
No.
Oh.
It's like almost a chestnut red, maybe a mahogany. I don't know. It's not quite brown. It's not quite red. It's that weird color that's in the middle.
I don't like it.
No, I'll have to check. It's horrifying. It's really bad.
Okay.
It doesn't go with her coloring at all.
Wow.
So.
Hmm.
So there.
Yeah. Well, should we jump ahead to talk about Mac?
Sure, yeah.
If we're talking about Lily.
Since we're talking about Lily.
I mean, you know, not really much happened. Oh, go ahead.
Lily still has cancer.
Oh.
Did you know?
You know, I think I forgot for maybe a split second. Not really.
Yeah.
Because a big wool hat on.
It's getting bigger by the day.
And that's all she has to talk about. She's got some serious
dreadlocks going on underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad. Anyway, so they have their first ultrasound with Mac.
Mm-hmm. And which everyone was all excited about, and I thought that was pretty accurate. No,
I know.
You do get that excited for the first one.
I'm sure you do, but I was, like, fast-forwarding through it. I don't care. I don't care.
You're so anti-baby. So they get there, and...
Okay, can I say, I loved that they had an Indian doctor. Thank you, YNR.
Yes, thank you, YNR. And
he was kind of cute.
I loved Mac's little smock.
I did, too.
She had a cute little pink smock on. It was like, okay, that's adorable.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. And her hair has looked fabulous.
It was a positive day.
It really was good. It was good.
Her hair looks way better.
Yeah, looks really
good. They took out those extensions and gave her a decent haircut.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And a little bit extra, because she's pregnant with twins.
Yay.
So, so much for...
Yeah.
Colleen's vision, where she just showed one baby.
Hey, who knows what happened to the other baby? The other baby was sleeping, you know.
Kane had the other baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but, so they're gonna have two.
And I think I predicted that a while ago, just saying.
Yeah.
Way back.
I know. I wonder, though, when it gets down to it, you know, if the babies are born, you know, healthy.
And together.
And together, then... Will they really have a storyline where there's twins and then they grow up and have twins? I mean, I guess they could be fraternal.
Yeah.
And have two different actresses or actors or whatever.
Or an actor and an actress.
But that's always going to throw a wrench in it. Because
I'm predicting it's a boy and a girl twin.
Yeah, I am too.
You know, and one of them
will... Make everybody happy.
And one of them will develop some sort of life-threatening disease that need the blood, marrow, or kidney of the other.
Shut up. Don't even say it. You say it and the writers are listening and they go, yes!
We don't have to pay
of her. Course! Right. Take notes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm you sure underling.
I'm sure they do.
Alright. Is that it for them, though?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Alright. Moving on.
Moving on.
Chance?
Yeah, let's talk about Chance. So Chance gets a text or a call from the guy who stabbed him.
Yeah.
And...
Well, he suddenly cares about...
Yeah. Which was ridiculous. But he also wants to catch him.
Right? No.
Yeah, Riggs. He wants to catch him and bring him to justice for stabbing him.
Like the dudes from Lethal Weapon or something.
Right, yeah.
So
he agrees to go meet him in the abandoned warehouse or...
Because Riggs down by the lake or... And he got a text that said... Come alone.
Right. So he does, because...
He's an idiot.
Chance is...
I'm sorry.
Kind of... Okay. It's not that he's an idiot.
He's a naive virgin.
He's a naive virgin, right. And he thinks he can handle everything because he was in Afghanistan as an MP. Well, okay.
I would give him credit for that kind of experience.
Oh, absolutely.
But clearly he doesn't know how to handle the real crime in Genoa City.
Right. Yes. Taliban drug lords are very different... Then
they're so much softer.
The guy who's, you know...
who stabs somebody.
Stabs someone in a coffee shop while he's robbing it for meth money.
But Chloe was like, dude, this isn't a good idea.
This is a bad idea. And follows him, which of course is a great idea. Because really, that's where she belongs. With all of her 5'1", 100 you know pounds what? Of
in a way,
might and fury.
I felt like if something bad was going to happen, as they were both like on their way there, like he was going and she was behind him and he didn't know, I just went, I can just see Chloe picking up a gun that got kicked out of the way and just shooting the right person.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
She just seems more competent to me than most people on the show.
Well, certainly more than any of the other police officers You know, I would rather have her in the car than Heather during a stakeout.
I kind of have this feeling that to work for the Genoa City, like, police department, I don't know, district attorney, anything, the only test they have them take is, like they have, like, a square shape and a circle shape, and they have to fit it through, like, the right hole.
Or they have to label which is which.
Yeah. No, no, because that would require words.
Oh, okay, right.
God forbid.
Vocabulary.
Just put it in the right shaped hole.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's not a big brain trust there.
I'm sorry. So they go there.
They go there.
Well, Chance gets there.
Right. And can't find Riggs. Riggs runs away.
And he's so dumb. He's like, Riggs! Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah.
Come out wherever you are.
And gets whack. Smacked in the back of the head.
Well, no, before that, though, Riggs was there. And Riggs was, beat up.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. I forgot about that.
And he seemed really scared.
Mm-hmm. Was freaked out.
And, Chance called for backup.
Way late. Yeah.
And instead of being like, just get in my car, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hang on.
Let me slowly
get my phone. And what happened? And Riggs wasn't really saying anything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he got whacked in the head.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Chloe shows up. Finds him.
Alone.
Police come. Of course, Heather is there.
Yeah.
And Chance's boss, who is shady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shifty. Definitely.
And Chance had given Riggs his coat because Riggs was so cold.
Right.
And they find Chance's coat full of drugs.
Yes. Every pocket, every sleeve was full of drugs.
Just bursting.
Yes.
And, of course, he's
the new guy. We don't trust you.
Even though he just got pinned, a week ago.
Yeah, for being chivalrous.
So, now Chance has, been suspended, and they think that it was a drug deal gone bad.
Yeah. He's like, nuh-uh. Well, okay. You might want to give a little bit more than that.
The whole thing was really?
It was poorly executed.
anything that has to do with the police. Yeah. But in particular, when Heather walked on the scene, I was like,
start the incompetency ticker, because it's going to go off the chart.
And it's like, earlier that day, Chance and Heather ran into each other at the coffee house, and she just seemed so, bubbly, hi, Chance! Oh my god, it's nice to see you! And then as soon as they found those drugs in that coat pocket, without, a blink, she was like, so, I found drugs in your pocket.
Drug dealer.
Yeah.
forget innocent until proven guilty, and then, perhaps this is a setup. No,
Heather
guilty.
Has some sort of quota that she's trying to meet.
She clearly does, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. Bad. So, he's obviously being framed. He knows he's being framed.
Yeah.
And they're basically, trying to keep him away from this whole Riggs case.
Right.
I don't know, the whole thing is just... Something big is going on.
And there's definitely corruption in the GC police department.
Because
a couple of people had said, don't pursue this.
Yeah.
What are you doing? This isn't your case.
Yeah.
And he had asked Heather if he could be put on the case, and she said no.
Yeah.
I don't think Heather's in on it.
No.
But
because they wouldn't let somebody
else
be on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Majorly. Because she is definitely in pursuit of some sort of warped kind of justice.
Yes, yeah. She may not be competent, but she does
and
have
Race
scruples.
Not in on it or anything like... Well, he's a defense...
Yeah,
he's family
defense,
law.
Yeah, he doesn't matter.
But, yeah, definitely, But Chloe, I think Chance was kind of like, I don't know if I should really be pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe was like, dude, you got stabbed.
Yeah.
It's your business.
Yeah, it is your job to, you are a detective...
Yeah.
You should look into this. And it was kind of really, he's the victim. He shouldn't have to also go and find who did it.
He shouldn't, but...
No one else is going to do it for him, so...
No.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, should we talk about Adam and Dr. Taylor?
Yeah. For sure.
I kind of like the character of Dr. Taylor, and I'm disappointed... that we didn't get to know his backstory about, why in the world
too.
In detail, why he always went
why
along
he was so
with
bad.
What Adam
well,
did.
Well, we knew he was a...
He was a gambler?
No. Mm-hmm. He...
Pervert?
He was a pervert.
Okay.
Yeah, he felt up some students or something.
Okay. Well, that's too bad.
He was... or something like that.
Hmm. Okay. I don't know. I just never got a real sense of who, what his, you know.
You know, it's funny because, what was wrong, you know, I caught up on like 4 episodes this afternoon.
Right, yeah.
But I was driving to school this morning, and I was like, whatever happened to Dr. Taylor? Totally randomly. You know, I was randomly. Just
thinking about him the other day, too.
And then I turned it on, and there he is. And I thought, well, all thanks right. you. Thanks for wrapping that up for me.
Yeah, very good, very good.
So he randomly shows up, you know, after the plane crash, and Adam and Sharon are kind of...
What are we going to do?
Recovering.
Yeah.
And he just...
Well, because Ashley had invited them to live with her at the
oh,
ranch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
Which is another reason why I think that, you know, Ashley kind of has a little thing for Adam. She it was having weird. Him around
the
house.
Very pushy.
She was really pushy about it. And she had been pushy about it before their house burned down. And then their house burned down and it was like, oh, now you can come and live with me. And she was all excited about it and was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah.
When Dr. Taylor came to the ranch to tell Ashley and spill his guts about everything, unannounced, uninvited, unwanted, you know, Adam also happens to be there when he shows up and mm-hmm. says, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah.
And Dr. Taylor says, well, I can't stand it anymore. We did a horrible thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm here to spill my guts.
Yes.
And... Basically,
Adam at least kinda, convinced him to leave the house for a little while. But Dr. Taylor's like, but I'm gonna be back.
Yeah,
he's gonna tell Sharon and Ashley, but he'll do it later. And so they meet at Jimmy's, mm-hmm. the least conspicuous place. I mean,
well, no, Adam had on a hat.
Oh, I'm
he
sorry.
He had his black baseball cap of disguise, so no one would recognize him.
Yes. I forgot.
As he stumbles into the bar.
Yeah, exactly. They're in the bar, and it's like the middle of the day. And Dr. Taylor's basically like, I'm going to tell. Mm-hmm. I'm going
to
do it.
Nothing you can say or do to me is going to mm-hmm. convince me otherwise.
So they go outside and have a little argument in front of Jimmy's.
Really not even that big of an argument.
But at the point where enough. Dr. Taylor was like, don't,
screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah, totally. Adam is like freaking out a little mm-hmm. bit, and they kind of push each other a little bit, you know, not
was,
nothing
yeah,
big.
Yeah, it was like not even playground worthy pushing.
No. And Dr. Taylor, like in a huff, kind mm-hmm. of runs out in the street and gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
Well, Phyllis saw the little...
Scuffle?
Yeah, the scuffle. And so Dr. Taylor's rushed to the hospital. Adam is interviewed by the police.
Says that he was drunk, that Taylor was drunk, mm-hmm. that they were fighting. Mm-hmm. He admitted that they were fighting, but that...
He said, like, that Dr. Taylor was drunk and Adam was trying to convince him not to go talk to Ashley mm-hmm. because he was inebriated and,
right.
and he was just shocked, upset her. You know. It was a good cover story.
It was working.
I knew
yeah.
he'd come up with a good cover story.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. He's good at lying, you know, just right off the cuff. And
that's what he
Phyllis
does.
Phyllis doesn't believe it at all. He tells the same story to Nick, because Nick, you know, Phyllis immediately calls Nick, oh my God, I just saw your brother, and he...
You know, I guess I didn't understand, because Phyllis, for like, previous to this, for like the last, I don't know, year,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the last few weeks, has been... complaining a lot about Nick constantly being in, like, Sharon's business.
Right.
And, like...
That's their major point of contention.
Yes, Nick is so mad about Adam being married to Sharon now.
Mm-hmm.
And Phyllis is just like, let it go. Can we live our
right.
lives?
Yeah.
So then she sees this scuffle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, by the way...
All over it.
I saw it. And let's talk about it some more.
Forever.
Can we just let
them
go?
Can we put our noses in there?
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, because she sees it as a big opportunity somehow to bring Adam down. That this is going to be it.
But like, I don't... But then Sharon would be alone, and she'd need Nick's
help.
Well,
that's what I was wondering. I was like, well, how is this benefiting you? Yeah, it gets rid of Adam, because you never really liked Adam. But yeah, it leaves Sharon
but
in
right
that
before that,
horrible, vulnerable
because
place
Nick
again.
Did give Adam a big, fat apology. Like, hey, mm-hmm. you know what? You saved my son from a burning building.
Yeah, that's
thank
cool.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And even Phyllis told somebody, she was like, you know, I kind of don't think Adam is that bad of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 2 hours later, she sees this and is and instantly... he's the devil. She's, like, on his nuts about it. Like, what's your problem? I don't know. Anyway.
So, Dr. Taylor died. Yeah. Which I thought was really interesting that, you know, at the hospital, you know, the doctor didn't bother to find out, are you a relative?
No, he are just told related? Everybody. It's
like, everybody.
He was like, do you want to see the chart? Here, can I put it on a projector for you?
Exactly. It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
But they also did a blood screen, and there's no significant alcohol. Or there was a little bit,
but nothing not, worthy.
Yeah, so.
And Sharon and Ashley end up kind of talking about it, and it's like neither of them had realized beforehand that they were both in the mental hospital at the same time that they both gave birth.
On the same day.
Yeah, same exact time.
Two babies that they named the same name. But yeah. I thought about this. The reason that makes sense...
because they were nuts?
And because they're both so self-absorbed, they do not pay any attention to you're what's right. going on around them.
Oh,
they would not right. have... They okay. really would not have noticed
all
right. that I'll anything buy else... Okay. Happened that day, so.
Because nobody else could have gone in. You know what, you're right. If I was Sharon or Ashley, I wouldn't have believed that anyone else had gone into labor in the mental hospital under lockdown at the exact same time. It's a very implausible story.
It is, yeah.
So you're right. Okay. So, I buy it.
Okay.
Either way, they're talking.
Yeah, now they're talking about it.
And it occurs to them.
You were there too? You had a baby too? You had a girl, too? Oh, my God. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. Well, and the best part is that Dr. Taylor was Ashley's obstetrician, and when they kind of figure out that he's the one who delivered Sharon's baby, mm-hmm. it's like, whoa, wait, what? Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because we never met Sharon's obstetrician.
It's no. just
the doctor.
The doctor.
Okay.
It's going to go down.
Oh, yeah, I think it's the start of, because Sharon had also had, you know, a moment with Nick where she's holding on to baby Faith, and
yeah.
who really is a super cute little baby actress. Kudos to her. I think she's adorable. They're doing good with the babies right now. I had, like, baby pangs, and I was like, oh, who do I know who has a baby that I can go play with?
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I'm like that when I see kittens.
Yeah, so kind of the same idea. But, they were talking about how baby Faith, when she cried, sounded just like Noah did.
And yeah,
I'm sitting there right. going,
it's yeah, your baby!
Doy! Okay, fine.
Well.
So, yeah, it's all going to come out in the next week or two. That
you think in the next week?
I don't know. I think it's possible.
I always think, oh my God, this is it. It's going to happen. And then something happens where it doesn't, you know, like mm-hmm. your baby is alive and yeah. the plane crashes and she doesn't remember or whatever. Right. It's like they're stringing us along.
Yeah, well, and Adam had another one of those moments where today he was talking to Ashley and he's like, I have to tell you something. Your shoe's untied. Oh, you're so good at that. You fool me every time, Adam. Damn you.
I know, it's so true.
He always makes me think that he's going to actually tell her.
I know.
What he did, but then he doesn't.
I know. Mm. And I really like him now. I don't know what it is.
I like him. He's
flipped me in about a month.
Well, he's so much more complex. He yeah. was just evil before, absolutely. And now he's not evil. And when Sharon leaves him, he's going to be devastated. It's going to be horrifying yeah. for him. So, you know,
that's Sharon compelling. Can't leave him. I'm idealistic.
Oh, please. You don't think that... She can't possibly stay with him.
Okay. Because we have to bring this up. We didn't write it on our board.
What?
Okay, so Adam...
You can't talk about things that aren't on the board.
I know. Adam and Sharon, you know, they recently just got back from being married. And Jack went over to Sharon's house when Adam was, like, at work or something. When they were kind of all over town breaking the news to everyone that they had just gotten married.
Yeah.
And they were getting an extremely unfavorable...
response from everyone. Yeah. Especially Jack, who was a complete...
Jack came over and he was like... He was, like, in the doorway, and he was just ragging on Sharon, and she was like, okay, here's the deal. You can leave, or you can come in, and you can be nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he was like, fine, I'll be nice.
Yeah.
They go inside, and she was pretty dumb, though, to go, like, I'm going to talk about how awesome my right. Winter Wonderland wedding was
right. yeah, that to was somebody who doesn't stupid. Like
it. Yeah. And Jack can't handle it anymore, and he starts giving her crap
being
about it.
About it.
And she slapped him.
That was, yeah, that was a good slap.
And I was like, thank you for doing that, because that was well overdue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, way overdue.
She was talking, you know, because he was like, Adam is such a liar, and she was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on.
Yeah.
Because you didn't lie to me about being everything. A sex addict and forging right. the diary. And
she doesn't know that he forged a diary.
Yeah, he admitted it to her like a while back.
Why has he never been punished for that?
Because Adam was, and it seems like no one cares now.
I do care. I think that Jack should go to prison for it. Yeah, on no. Victor Newman's private prison over. Island.
Sorry.
Damn it. Okay.
But anyway, so she kind of throws him out. And so they have this, it was my favorite scene out of the whole 2 weeks, that where Jack and Dr. P are like celebrating sort of their engagement, and they've mm-hmm. hired Chloe to be the wedding planner, and yeah. they're in the athletic club like having dinner with mm-hmm. Chloe to discuss like,
a meeting.
Yeah, because they're going to get married on Valentine's Day. Yes. In the meantime, Adam and Sharon still haven't figured out what each other like to eat.
Right.
And are going to go, and they're like, you know what? It's been a long day. Everybody hates us. We're going to go to the athletic club and flaunt it.
Right. Sure. Yeah. As so well they should.
They show up, have a seat, and then Phyllis and Nick are at home, like, dealing with their crap, and they're mm-hmm. like, you know what? Let's just go out and get some dinner. Yeah. They go to the athletic club.
Because it's the only restaurant in town.
I know. And it was awesome, because it was like, as everyone kind of filtered in, it was like really awkward.
Yeah.
And fabulous at the same time.
The only person who wasn't awkward at all was Chloe.
Chloe, and it was so great. Yeah. So Jack and Dr. P send Nick and Sharon, or Adam and Sharon, a bottle of champagne.
Which is nice. That's civilized.
They're celebrating, and they're like, we're just married. And Ashley, maybe it was that same night or something. I don't know. Ashley was like, oh, didn't you just hear? Jack just got engaged, too. Mm-hmm. And Sharon just marches over
Sharon
there.
Sharon freaked out.
It was
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was a good freaked out.
She slams the bottle of, like, champagne on the table and just, like, gives him everything. She's like, so, you're a huge hypocrite. And he was like, well, I'm not. And she's like, but you are.
Yes, you are.
And
Dr. P starts to analyze her. And she's just like, don't shrink me. Yeah. I was like, yes. Was great.
And then Jack kind of looks towards Chloe and everybody else, and he's like, I don't think this is the time to talk about it or something. Mm-hmm. And Chloe goes, oh, no, I love a good scene, and just right. sits back with her, like, glass of wine or whatever. Go
darn
for
right.
it.
Oh, yeah. She would just sit back and watch the show.
Yeah. And then across the restaurant, Nick and Phyllis were kind of, you know, getting a little giggle out of it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was great. It was, like, the perfect little setup of everybody's crap yeah. coming out in the middle of
town.
Yes. It was
yeah,
wonderful.
That was good.
I loved it.
That was a good scene.
And, yeah. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, we haven't really talked about Dr. P and Jack.
Jack. Oh, my God. The for some reason, they've made Dr. P a sports fan, which I find to be hilarious.
I know, it's so over the top.
It's so great, because
she uses all these, like, sports analogies and
and is talking about the teams and Brett Favre and the Vikings and all this, and I'm just like, oh, my God, you are from Wisconsin, aren't you? You really,
yeah.
you know, I've met girls like her in Wisconsin, and they really do care that much, and she made some kind of comment about, well, basketball's just around the corner, and I was like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. She's a jock.
Yeah.
Sports fan.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I love that aspect of her personality and want her to stay just for that.
Really?
I do. I think it's
Dr. P drives me nuts.
She drives me nuts, but that's a great character point.
Yeah, you know, I guess
and
that's
true. I want to give whoever came up with that, if it was the actress or if it was
the writer.
She is hiding
something major, though.
Oh, huge. She has no friends, no family.
And, like,
no
Jack,
one to come to the wedding.
Jack was like, I want to send over your stuff from your house in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me the name and the number and I'll,
get
your stuff over here. She's like, No.
Well, in that,
like, she lives in some old forlorn castle and doesn't want anybody to know that she sleeps in a
house.
Coffin. Yeah.
Well, there was a moment where she was, when she asked, is it Ashley who's going to be the matron of honor?
Because her best friend couldn't do it,
and I was thinking, it's because you don't have a best friend
uh-huh.
to ask, because you have no friends, no family. You're crazy. That's a sign of,
oh yeah,
not someone to marry. Let's that be the lesson of the week. If your fiance has no connections to anyone else in the world but you, You should not marry her or him.
I know, my husband told me that. That I should never make friends with somebody who doesn't have their own friends. Who doesn't have friends already. And I think we learned the hard way on that one.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason some people don't have friends. So, yeah, I think that that could go in a lot of really cool, creepy ways.
She's got some sort of weird mystery.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, they're, like, Jack told Billy, I think, in confidence about he and Dr. P's. I'm not going to call her an Emily, because I like Dr. P. Dr. P. I like works, the name Dr. P. He told Billy about the announcement of their engagement, like, confidentially. And then, of course, Billy goes and, like, posts it drunkenly.
But, yeah, he was drunk, so he kind of had a semi-excuse.
On the website. Yeah. And then the newspapers pick it up or whatever. Of course, they let Patty read the newspaper.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. They don't scan it for possible information beforehand or whatever. They don't just, like, give her the weather.
No, right, or the comics page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, so, they give her the whole USA Today.
Yeah.
Every morning on her little padded doorstep.
Well, she sees the announcement. Well, the rumored announcement.
Yeah.
With their pictures and goes a little ballistic on her own.
With her little scissors. Fabulous. Her little kitty scissors. Yeah, that was a pretty good freak out.
Loved it. It showed me that those little child scissors can do some damage.
Can be dangerous. Yeah. 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 I knew it. If you know how to use them and if you're just crazy enough.
Yeah. I love also that, like, she hides everything on the other side of the mattress. As if there's some sort of, like, secret portal on the other side of that mattress.
Well, no, it's just a, it's a little cupboard.
I guess.
You know, it's like a little...
Yeah.
There's
what did she hide? I can't even remember.
Oh, she hid the jacked paper doll.
Yeah, but this
And she's been hiding the papers.
Oh, the pills!
Oh, that's right, she's not taking her pills. That's right. Yeah, really good regurge scene where she didn't take her pills. That was pretty awesome.
She's hiding her pills under her mattress.
Yeah.
Switcheroo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to do
they're gonna
it
do
for
it.
Sure.
And it'll do it at the wedding.
The wedding! Yeah. Yes.
That somehow because, she'll get the dress, she'll talk Dr. P into... Show me your wedding dress. I heard you're getting married. That's fine. I'm sane. Let me see your wedding dress. Okay. Yeah. Knock her out.
Because, like,
dope
what she
her
did
up
was...
with all those pills.
Yeah. Yeah, totally dope her up. Like, Patty went ballistic when she saw the announcement in the newspaper.
And of course,
like,
she's not being monitored at all.
Not at all. Of course not. Nobody saw.
Yeah.
And so when Dr. P shows up, Patty's collected herself and is totally, like, pretending to be fully normal.
And repentant. And she shows remorse. Oh, yeah, she's totally, she's got it all figured out. If we could open up that little, you know, hollow space, there would be, like, a little mock-up.
I know.
Of, you know, here's me and here's Dr. P.
Totally.
How we're going to do the switcheroo.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Really good.
And if not...
I'll be heavily disappointed, but it will. There's no question
at
this point.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah, I liked it. All right,
should we talk about JoJo? And how much I love this character. Oh my god, she's fantastic.
I love JoJo
And I
as
don't
well.
Want her to go anywhere.
I think she is, though.
I know, but we said that about Dr. P, and we said that about Patty, and she never did. So
that's
hopefully
true.
There will be enough...
Fan response.
Appreciation for JoJo, who, I don't know what it is about her that I just am delighted by, but I think it's just, you know.
That she's the female version of Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Well, it could be that. I've never actually seen Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh!
So the only thing I've ever seen is, like, a week before JoJo showed up on the show, on South Park, there was a parody where Cartman was... Dog the Bounty Hunter.
You gotta watch the show so you'll fully understand
how wonderful it is. But yeah, I think she's great. And the fact that she goes into town, goes into Jimmy's, which suddenly is a biker bar, apparently, because she brings all the bikers home.
Well, I mean, it is a dive. Well, okay, so let's talk about who JoJo is.
Okay,
so on Christmas, Jill gave Catherine the name of her biologically...
accurate child.
Yes, who was given up years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
raised in the Gray Sisters orphanage.
Yes, exactly. And Tucker McCall kind of like pushed Catherine, you really, really should look for this person.
Mm-hmm. You should look into it. this and that.
Because Catherine didn't really want to. They pushed her. She finally, her and Jill go, like, they fly the private jet, mm-hmm. I don't know, somewhere.
To South Dakota.
Oh, is that where it was? I missed it.
I think so.
And they find the address of where this person is. It's like bail bonds or something.
Yeah.
And
it's in the sketchy part of town.
Yeah. And
it's late at night.
Totally. And we had seen the woman before, just for like a split second, mm-hmm. like in at Buffalo, the bar. Right? Yeah. And, oh yeah, she's like the female version of Dog Bounty Hunter.
Okay.
That's totally what they're going for. Because she even made jokes about it, like when Jill and Catherine showed up.
That's right.
And she's like, you know, that stupid guy with the braids in his hair from Hawaii or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. She totally made fun of him.
Yeah.
It was a great scene. And then they convinced her that...
that she needed to come back to Genoa City. They went in, they introduced themselves.
There was not even, like, let's go have coffee.
No, not at all. It was like, hi, I'm your mother. Come back home with me to Wisconsin. And she's like, okay...
So she did,
and...
completely took advantage.
Yeah. But, let's just say this. Yes, she took advantage. But if she really was brought up the way that we're led to believe she was brought up,
uh-huh.
it totally made sense. Because she's so insecure, and she's been abandoned once, and so she's going to
take grab everything she can while she can.
And Catherine... really did not treat her very nicely. No. She never did try to sit down and get to know her.
No. She kind of just let her exist.
Yeah. She was just kind of like, oh, you're my daughter, here you are. And never really explained.
And Catherine really didn't want her to be her daughter.
No, that was clear from the first moment. So why Catherine had her come back in the first place...
I don't know.
You know, yes, it... furthers the plot, but it wasn't very realistic.
No, because then JoJo stayed at the house, or at the Chancellor estate.
Mm-hmm. And is wreaking havoc.
Just drinking.
And stealing stuff. Esther like a maid. Yeah. Oh my god. And again, why didn't someone take her to one side, you know, Murphy.
Yeah.
Or someone and say, you know what? Esther is actually part of the family, and we treat her this way.
Yeah.
And, you know, she...
we make her wear this stuffy maid outfit because we like her.
Well, she wants to wear it. Esther has said, I want to wear the maid costume, and I want to be the maid, and that's my job, and I like my job, and...
yeah, totally. You
know, but she knows that she's part of the family, and no one bothered to tell JoJo any differently. So she's treating her
mm-hmm.
as if she's staff. And admittedly, she's a little snotty about it and, you know, crude and crass. But, you know, she's taking advantage of the high life while she's there. So I kind of felt a little sorry for JoJo.
I didn't feel sorry for her at all. But I loved her.
Oh, no, I felt bad for her.
I mean, she was, like, burping and coughing.
Oh, and not little sweet, delicate burps, I guess.
And she was a big woman to begin with. She's a big girl,
yeah.
You know?
Big hair and tattoos on her neck and, you know, all kinds of personality.
A lot of makeup and a bandana. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. So, everyone else in the family is just kind of recoiling away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved was when she knew Catherine and everyone else was going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically tried to hold an estate sale and sell off all of Catherine's stuff. You know,
and Esther caught them.
And Esther caught them and kicked everybody out. You know, I do
think... that was, like, the boldest I've ever seen Esther. Usually Esther is, like, so weak-willed.
No, she has been really, really, you know, standing up to JoJo and saying, no, this is ridiculous. Get your grubby friends out of here and no, you can't take the horses for a ride.
Totally.
Or, you know, drive the fancy car.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they managed to get her DNA.
Because she was drinking beer all day.
Yeah, Catherine decided she did want a DNA test. Yeah.
I have some issues with this.
Okay.
For some, you know, they kept trying to portray her as this, like, hard drinker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't once where you didn't see her without, like...
without some kind of glass in her hand.
A shot or a bottle or something in her hand. And she did not know how to drink beer.
No.
I mean...
No.
And it was, like, constant. It was like they were constantly showing her trying to drink a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know how to drink a beer.
She was really good at drinking the hard liquor, though.
The hard liquor. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, like, okay. That was
I just kept thinking, you know... like, if you're an actress,
You should know how to...
You should research what a... Yeah. Research how to drink a damn beer.
Yeah, that it is going to be different than you're drinking a glass of wine or a champagne or... Yeah. Good point.
A Chardonnay.
Yes, yes, very good.
Anyway, we have a lot of beer issues, I think.
We really do. Beer and hair seem to be two
Oregonians.
Of the... Yeah, two of the big trends.
Anyway, okay. So they took a beer bottle she had been drinking
green
from.
Green beer.
Yeah, a green beer, exactly. To, get her DNA. Mm-hmm. Of course, they sent for, like, the 24-hour Uber Express DNA test.
Yeah.
They get it back.
Hey, surprise, surprise. To no one.
Yeah, not
a match.
Her daughter. Yeah.
Right.
And at the same time, the whole week...
Now wait, the night before was when JoJo...
Uh-huh.
Gets done with her estate sale. They get kicked out. She goes back to Jimmy's. She's having another drink.
Uh-huh.
And who sidles up but Tucker McCall?
Yeah.
And they have a little conversation
mm-hmm.
about how, you know, Tucker's in on it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're making me do a DNA test. Well, don't worry. You know, it'll all be taken care of by them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's when we knew that.
And Tucker
was
sweet talking Jill. Buying her finery.
Yeah. Ew.
I like it. I liked them as a couple.
They were perfect for each other. I'll just
say
that.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
was some match made in heaven there.
Yeah, Jill would get exactly out of it what she would want.
I felt
and
really
so would
bad
he,
for Jill.
If he wants,
you know?
Gin soaked
because
Virginia
basically,
sling sex.
He does. He just looks like that's what he's into.
I hate his hair so much.
Oh,
can
it
we
just
talk about
fits
his
him.
Hair?
It just fits.
It
him
fits
so
his
well.
Character so much, but yeah, it's just
it's very
so
foppish.
Big. It's just so poofy. How do you do that? Does he wear curlers when he goes to bed?
I don't know.
Because he's got those big curls, and you know, I can acknowledge, you know, a man of his age wanting the world to know that he's got a full head of his own hair.
Yeah, because, I mean, not that Donald Trump has thick, lustrous hair or anything, but he's definitely rocking a bad hairstyle, too.
Yeah.
And you just get away with it when you have that much power.
I guess so. I don't know.
Supermodels still want to cling to your every possible body part.
Yeah, I don't know.
When you have money and power.
Every time I look
matter.
At him, I'm just like, wow, you're that rich and no one... has enough
again Donald Trump
to go up to you. It's yeah, but now it's Donald Trump's trademark, that bad hair.
Well, how do we know it's not? Oh, well, Tucker McCall's trademark
was
his
beard.
Beard,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so now he's got this big.
Well, maybe somebody went
hairdo.
To him and said, you know what, hey Tucker, I just got to tell you the
yeah,
beard.
Yeah, the beard's got to go.
And so they thought
the
maybe,
lion's mane
yeah.
hair, it's working.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I just...
Shut up. Just leave him alone.
I don't like his hair.
Anyway, you know, so he's been sweet talking Jill, and there was like a small company, Celltron or something, where he was basically like trying to convince everybody and their dog that Chancellor Industries should obtain that small little company of some sort.
Yeah.
And so Catherine is, like, really distracted by the whole JoJo stuff. Jill is distracted because Tucker
she's finally getting sex.
Yeah, giving her, you know, jewelry and stilettos and a diamond necklace or whatever.
Ew.
And all of a sudden they...
And Neil is distracted by Malcolm. Who I don't think is related to this, but
no.
To throw that out there.
Yeah. And so they have, like, I don't know, they have... officially take over Celltron or whatever, and all of a sudden...
But, well, they buy it as using stock as the purchase price,
that's
and
right.
they were going to buy back the stock once they had controlling interest in... You know, once they had bought the company.
Sure.
So that's why they had the stockholders meeting.
Okay, yes. And at the stockholders meeting...
Only one stockholder showed up.
And it's...
Because it was Tucker.
Tucker.
Because he owned the company.
Uh-huh. And he just gets behind the podium, even though it's only, like, four of them.
Right, yeah.
And basically says, so now I own 100% of the shares, and I own Chancellor
now
Industries.
Now I own the majority interest in Chancellor, and Catherine freaks out.
And...
How could you do this to me? We treated you like a friend.
And it's, that's right when they kind of break the news back at the Chancellor's state that JoJo is not...
Mm-hmm.
Not the daughter.
Right. And she's like, yeah, I know.
So Jill's gonna get her heart broken.
Boo hoo.
I am sorry, because she doesn't have a lot of prospects, you know? And she even said, she asked him right before that, they were having dinner and he gave her something and she said, are you too good to be true? And he just looked at her and he said, yes. And I went, oh no.
Yeah, no, stop. He's a pig.
He's a pig.
And he was honest about it, at least. And said, well, I don't know, you know, I've made my feelings about Jill very clear. The more miserable she is in the sexual arena, the happier I am.
No! God. Nah.
So.
Whatever.
So not only does Tucker McCall disclose that he now is the majority shareholder of Chancellor, and she's saying, how could you do this to me? You know, I've had this company for decades. And
she was like, it's my legacy. Yeah. Don't you care about legacies?
Yeah, and he's like, no, not really. Legacies are outdated.
Yeah.
You know, how could you do this to me? Well, you know, I'm your son.
Yeah.
And that's when I freaked out. I was like, what?
I know.
How can he be
your
son?
You watched me almost spit my beer across my laptop.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I almost warned you not to take that sip. And I was like, no, let's just see what happens.
I was shocked.
Because how can that be? Is he JoJo?
I thought he planted the evidence, because it was like they tried to find Catherine's daughter, and all the leads were, like, dead, and da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, Paul got all this information.
Right, okay, so that was clearly...
I thought Tucker placed
setting it.
It
up, yeah.
Yeah,
but Tucker what I'm saying is, how can he claim to be her son?
I don't know.
I thought she just had Brock as a son. And then she had this mysterious girl child.
How do they know
that they've been looking for?
Maybe it wasn't a girl. It was a baby.
Well, there's a difference between girl babies.
I know, and but it was babies. Just sort of like a.
So when Catherine delivered this baby,
I don't know
the
details.
She gave it up that day.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like.
But I thought she brought the baby to.
I don't.
She must have known it.
Because they did talk to
her. He cannot be that baby. There's no way. Unless he had a sex change, which, you know,
no,
good for him.
Which would explain the big hair.
It might.
I don't know. I don't know the details. I'm
and his
sorry.
Attraction to Jill. It kind of looks like a drag queen. No, I
don't
can't
know.
Wait for them to explain how in the hell he can
they
be.
Will. They will.
You know,
absolutely.
Her son. There's just.
But he's got to be her son. I love it.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Into it.
Yeah, yeah, that took me by surprise. I was like, oh, I knew he was bad, but
big
I didn't
revelations.
Know he was going to be, you know, her son bad. But I still hope that, what's her name, JoJo, they find a way to...
Keep her around.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what that town needs.
I was kind of wondering if maybe JoJo, you know, actually looks, like, normal in real life. Well, not like real life, but Genoa City real life.
Yeah.
And, they'll bring her around, and maybe she's real good friends with Tucker, and she, you know, she'll be like Jill's kind of like our enemy, or, you know, like somebody
Nemesis?
To butt heads with on her end.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. Maybe.
You know, they're about the same, you know,
they're about the same age, and I'd love to see her and Nikki. Toss a few back.
Yeah.
Because that'd be pretty funny.
There you go. Talk about their pole dancing days.
Yeah, exactly. So,
phew. It's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a good couple weeks.
So.
Plenty going on. Plenty of questions raised.
Tons of questions. So, yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's it, unless you have any more.
I really don't. I think we did good.
In case anybody was checking the blog, for that like 12 of you who I know religiously check our blog.
Yes, right.
We hit 10,000 downloads.
That's right. That was kind of exciting.
So I kind of feel like this is our celebratory podcast.
That's right.
10,000 downloads.
Yeah, 10,000. That's a lot.
It's a lot to me, considering that I really thought the only people who would listen to it were like 3 immediate friends of mine.
Yeah.
Who would listen to it once and then never
again. And then
again.
Never again. Yeah. Yeah, I had one or two people who I thought would kind of stick with it just because, and it turns out they have not listened to it once, so they can suck it.
I know.
But yeah, no, I think that that's great.
Yeah.
And,
so,
you know, continue to leave comments because they really
it's
do.
It's more fun when people leave comments. It I is really more appreciate fun. It.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just like we're talking to ourselves and it's nice to
Yeah, we need
feedback.
A little outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, you know, occasionally a good question is raised or
absolutely.
Know, a story thread we hadn't thought
Some
of.
Some people remember good things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So somebody, I gave a link to Heather's mom.
Oh, okay.
And it was like her, I can't even remember the link. It was a great link though. It was like a 1982 scene from Y&R.
And oh, nice. Okay.
It was, you know, Heather's mom.
All right.
Killing someone in self-defense or something. I don't know.
Great.
It was great.
Oh, perfect.
I liked it.
Awesome.
Anyway, so give us some good links to, you know, favorite scenes or anything you think it was imperative. yrupdates.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put up a new poll.
Okay, good.
And, yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, we'll see you next time.